Welcome back to the Hoffcast, episode 14. Yeah, we're doing it. We're moving right along. It is mid-June. Got some shows coming up. I got a show tomorrow, Friday, at Tulum, California, if you're in the area. I'm there with Cable Guy, and then I'm with him again on Saturday at the Del Mar Fairgrounds in San Diego. So, Southern California people, come on out, check out a show. Then at the end of this month, I am in Des Moines, Iowa at the Funny Bone. So come check that out. I have a lot of tour dates up on my website, nickhoff.com. Check those out. See if I'm coming to an area near you. I'm touring a lot this summer and fall, so chances are I'm within a stone's throw, and I'm still adding a bunch of dates. So check that out. Let me know if there's somewhere I'm missing. I know there's I'm missing some Indianapolis shows, some Nebraska shows. Those are going to be added, so hang in there. And then in town, Wednesday the 20th, I'm at the Venice Underground here in Los Angeles. So that's a free show. Always awesome. So if you're in the area, come check that out. I want to give a special shout out to those of you that just rated the podcast 5 stars on iTunes. And some of you wrote a review on there. Thank you so much for doing that. That's huge in building the audience here. So thank you very much. I hope you guys are enjoying this. This week, I want to get right into it because I really enjoyed having my guest on the podcast this week. He's really making a name for himself here in Hollywood. I met him when I was only like a year into stand-up. We talk about that a little bit. And now he's been on network television shows. Last night, he made his late night debut on Conan. So go check that out. Sometimes it's fun because we talk about his set on Conan. So maybe like before, maybe hit pause on this and go type in Rel Battle, RELLBATTLE. Battle's his last name. Conan, and spend the 5 minutes watching his set. And that way you'll be caught up when we talk about it on here. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. We talk a lot about show business. We talk a lot about comedy, but I think you guys are really going to like it. So please enjoy that conversation and enjoy the podcast. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Hope to see you soon. All right, we're good. Sitting here with the hot off the press. Just did Conan last night, Battle.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah, good to have you. Good to kick tell it us about family. How we... I watched it with you at the improv last night.
Did come through. It was a good friend to do.
Yeah, you were sitting there at first, and they turned down the music and turned up the TV.
At first,
you were sitting there, like right when you came out, and then you went and sat somewhere else.
Then it got weird. It's like, it feels weird. You get it.
I told Casey and Paul, who were sitting there, like right before you came on, I go, man, if that were me on there, I would not be sitting anywhere near you guys. I'd go to the bathroom right now, something.
And I left. Yeah. Well, because people wanted to come hang out with me and my friends, and I'm like, all right, I didn't want to do any of that.
Right.
And it was like so many people hitting me up, like, what are you doing? I'm like, all right, we all come hang out. And it's a good reason to see Casey's in town.
Sure.
My brother's in town, and then I'm just like, after I went up and the jokes start coming, I'm like, all right,
I gotta go. Isn't that weird that we want to tell jokes?
Yeah.
We want to get on stage, but we don't want, like, there's something weird about them being in the audience for it.
Because even the comics were like, oh, ain't that funny.
Everybody was laughing last night.
You know what I'm saying? So I just couldn't do it. I just went to the back. I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
It was cool. I was happy people came on. I was appreciative, so it was fun.
I did I went to a high school this year and talked about being a comedian, and everybody's like, well, do some stand-up. I was like, I'm not going to do stand-up right now. And they're like, oh, can we see a video? And I go, you can watch a video, but I'm going to go outside while you guys watch the video.
Yeah.
And I just stood outside, and I could hear the video playing in there, but I just did not want them looking over at me.
It's weird. To talk about it is weird. So do it. We just want to do it. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was fun. Conan was great. Great show. I was supposed to do it a couple times.
I wanted to ask you how the process was. So you submitted.
Yes, I had a tape. The booker knew my PR person. He was like, all right, well, I had like a 5-minute tape. And then he's like, cool, we'll set him up. And I was on Superior Donuts at the same time, so I knew that was going to help.
Right, Superior Donuts, CBS. Those CBS. Of you guys that don't know.
Yeah, it was on CBS. canceled now. So they asked me to do it at the time. I just didn't, and then by the time they asked me to do it, I was like, I'm doing other stuff. I said I couldn't do it. And then,
oh wow!
And then they offered me again to do the Apollo in Harlem. Conan was going to Harlem to do the Apollo.
Oh, really?
I'm like, hell yeah!
Right.
So I'm like, I'm with it. CBS said no because I was doing a big scene.
Oh, CBS was Superior Donuts.
Yeah,
said no.
They said no.
Okay.
Because I was doing like a really big scene based on my character.
Uh huh.
And I was pissed.
Dude.
You know what I mean?
Why would they say no?
Because I was like every
you had
character
to get out of filming
every character gets a story arc.
Okay.
Like this episode's about this person, this episode's about this person. Uh-huh. That week the episode was about me and my character.
Right.
And what's funny is my character was like such a small character. I never have an episode about my character.
Right.
I finally get one the same week they want me to do Conan. So I had to fly to New York, and they were like, I had to miss like one day. They were like, no.
Oh, you'd had to miss a day of filming.
Just one day. One day of rehearsal, not even filming.
One day of rehearsal, and they said, nah, nah.
You're talking about practice. not even the game. You're talking about practice.
And oh, so, that must have been a huge bummer.
I was pretty pissed, but...
Who gives that word?
Just the bosses. The bosses that...
Just like one of the producers there says, no, we paid.
Yeah. When you sign a deal, you know, you contractually they can say... You have to go through them to do other stuff.
Right.
That affects the schedule. I was upset, but this is the business. And after a while, it took like 24 hours to be mad. And then I was over. It's like, that's the game, you know? Scheduling conflicts, you know what I mean?
Now, okay, so CBS to Conan's on TBS. Would that have been... It seems to me like they would have said, yes, do it. But when he announces you, say, see him on... Well, CBS is Superior Donuts.
Anything in their schedule they can dictate. It wasn't like when we were mad, it wasn't like to piss me off. It just scheduling is just like we need you here type of thing.
Right.
So it's business, and you get mad as a comic, you get mad, but as a professional, as an actor, you got to go. Well, this is they're right. It fits in the schedule. Doesn't
it
fit.
Fits in the schedule, but I feel like rehearsal as a producer, I would have said, you know what, this is going to help our show. Let's get him in the limelight.
That's
over there.
What I would have said. But you know, they had a decision to make, and I'm not mad at them at all. I don't, you know, they were
no,
great.
No,
yeah, but it was just at the time as
that's
a comic.
A bummer.
At the time, I'm like, ugh. But then, I got to do for anything I do in my career. I give myself 24 hours, no matter what it is, whether it's I missed a bad audition, I fail a bomb to set. I give myself 24 hours to get over it and then move on.
Okay, yeah. And what happens at the end of 24 hours if you're not over it?
I'm over it. I've trained myself to, you can't
you
think
say, I'm not going to think about this.
Be pissed as you want, be mad as you want, go punch a wall, do what you got to do, 24 hours, don't think about it.
Wow.
You know, now for comedy, that used to be for comedy. Comedy, I'm over it as soon as I get off stage, whether I'm mom
right,
or not.
Right, right.
As soon as I walk out of the room, I'm not thinking about it. Because we do so many shows.
Sure.
Know? At this point, I know I'm okay at what I'm pretty decent at what I do.
Right. And even if it doesn't go exactly like you want, you're like, okay, well,
I'll do another one tomorrow and do
tomorrow's
better.
Tomorrow's right there.
So I got over it, and then it was cool, great episode, fun. And then they said, "Yo, whenever you're ready." And I went with Robbie. Robbie came back in town like I don't know 2 months ago.
Right, right.
He's like, "Yo, come with me to the show." We went to see the show. I was hanging out backstage. I saw the booker like, "Hey, man, whenever you want to jump in, let us know." I was like, "That's right, I will." And so we hooked it up about a month ago. And then I got my set right last couple of weeks. And then we
so
did
you
it.
Knew you were gonna be on for the last month.
I had about a month.
And you had the date the whole time, or they're like...
Yeah, I was like, let me do... I asked them if I could do June. They were like, cool. They gave me a couple of dates in June, and I picked the 13th.
Nice.
Yeah, so they were really cool about it.
How many times did you have to go back and forth? Or your set... Once you submitted
Once they
set,
know you have a set that can work, you can... Whenever...
But how many times did you go back and forth with that? Like, how many times were they, like, tweaking this or changed this?
They just,
you can't say this.
They just took out... They made it shorter, and they changed the order. But it was pretty much the same set.
Right. With Conan, they want a longer tape so they can do that, right?
Yes. No, yeah. Well, no. Conan asked for a 5. I think it was a 5 to 7.
Okay.
Something like that. And they said, take out this bit, take out this bit, cut this, move the order here, and that's your set. And then send us a tape of the new order we have for you. Sent that tape in. And like, cool, whenever you want to do it. So
I think people be interested in this. How many times did you do that exact 5 minutes then before you did Conan last night? Like, how many times leading up to it?
Ever?
To practice? Like, no, in practice. Like, once you had your set.
I booked about... 10 sets.
Did about 10?
5 open mics, 5 shows, something like that. I did like places I can get up pretty easy, like the Dime and Laugh Factory.
And what was the last one you did before
last
you did?
Last one I did was Ruby Tuesdays. Ruben's show at the Laugh Factory Tuesday night. He let me get up.
And how'd that go?
It went, we're pretty good.
Okay, good.
We're pretty good. And
sometimes when I'm preparing for something and I'll do a bunch of sets, I gotta be careful about that last one I do.
Yeah.
Because if that last one doesn't quite go right, then I'm like.
But I've been doing, I've had these jokes for years. This is like, these are, I literally wrote a set for TV.
Right.
I said, if I ever do a TV set, because I don't have, my material, you know, I'm not really a TV set person.
Uh-huh.
It's not my style.
I was a little bummed you didn't do the folding, the t-shirt.
That
was the one they cut?
That's what they cut. That was in the original cut for them. And then they cut that last week. They said it's just too long. So I cut it out. I literally cut it out like 5 days ago.
They just cut it out last week. So it was originally in.
Yeah.
Because what did your set end up running last night? What,
Like 5 minutes.
exactly.
Something like 4:56.5.
Okay.
And yeah, the original set. But this is the part. I was going too fast. So I still could have did the bit at the end. The fight. Okay. I have a fighting bit I do, guys who don't know me. And I could have did it because I had a minute left but the laugh was so big at my twin joke.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to leave on top.
When you were doing but it wasn't going to be in anyway because they already said it was too long.
But I
could have
did it. I could have did it.
You could have figured it
they,
out.
They felt like they thought it would have been too long for the cut, but I was actually on time.
What length did they cut there? What would you say?
If you did
the folding of the.
You can do up to about 5:30 before it was a problem. They say 5, but you probably get the 5. I don't want comics to think, listen, because they're really loose. They're like, we want you to be at 5 because of applause breaks and stuff. We don't want it to go too long, but you could probably get to 5:30. So I could have done that bit.
Isn't it crazy? Like, as comics, you think an extra 30 seconds, what's the big deal?
It's the big deal.
Like, that's one TV. Commercial.
It's commercial, or you got to cut a part of the guest. And most likely, when it comes between a celebrity guest or a stand-up, they're going to cut your set. And the last thing you want, you never want your set to get cut on any TV show.
Right.
Because the editor might not know. He might just cut it for time and not know you need this part for this part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, your callback would have never landed at the end had he said, we really don't need that sprinkling thing.
Exactly. Editing is the most important part of comedy for TV, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I could have did it. But whatever. The laugh was big. I was going to do it. I was like, I could do it.
It was a good ending.
The laugh was big and it felt like, all right, you know what? I'd rather go off early and do well than who knows what could have happened at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you could have said something. You could have tripped over a word or something, and then they're like, "Well, he's really good."
To the end.
Until he said that last thing.
So, Conan was great. I didn't expect it to be that much fun. It was fun.
That's fantastic, yeah, man. Right, I'm proud of you.
Thank you, brother.
You know, some of these things that you and I know, but our listeners don't know, is you and I met very early on.
Yeah.
Do you remember where we met?
No.
I do.
Where?
Uncle Clyde's comedy competition.
Jesus.
At the Ice House in Pasadena. Probably 07? I would guess. 06, 07?
Was Kayvon in that with us?
It's very possible.
That's where I met Kayvon.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't think I was a year.
Right. No, we were just babies. When did you start?
I want to say 06, 07.
Like you started 06, 07?
October 06, 07.
I started in November. I started November 1st of 05.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just little babies.
Damn, Uncle Clyde, you get a bucket of fries if you win. No, right?
Yeah,
you
something like that. It's like third place is a bucket of fries. Yeah, yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. Really? Damn.
That was cool doing those stages.
Huff. Wow, really?
Yeah, man.
And I was just this horrible Chris Rock impression.
Well, but even then, I could tell, like, here's a guy with a voice.
Yeah.
Like, I could see it. Like, even though, and I was probably going up high like Jerry Seinfeld or something, but, like, I could tell, that's a guy. Because you do those competitions, you do those open mics, you can sort of tell early on, like, who has the chops to get better and get...
Yeah. Because at that time, you could tell early, every veteran comic knows, okay, this guy... He could be something.
Right.
And the one thing I've always had was confidence. Even when my jokes were horrible.
Right.
I feel like I was always pretty confident on stage. That's all I had.
Right.
This confident guy sucks, but he believes in himself. You know what I'm saying? That's all I had.
It's funny. I will see a young comic and I'm like, that guy has promise. I feel like he can do it. Mm-hmm. And then I'll see somebody that's just terrible that I think has no shot. But then I still think, but those people could turn around. I've seen terrible people that I've written off, and then 5 years later, I'm like, this guy sucks, and then I watch him go up, and I'm like, actually, not bad now.
Dave Chappelle said either
you can polish a turd.
Chappelle said either you're born to do this, or you work incredibly hard.
Yeah.
You know? A guy like Jamar Neighbors, if people know him, when he first started, I just was like, yo, this kid's too wild. I don't see it. he's too crazy. It's just not even fun. Like, I don't get it.
Right.
And now I watch Jamar in awe because he's so creative and so wild still. But he's been able to channel his energy in the right place, man. So comedy, you never know, man. You never know.
You point crazy in the right direction.
Exactly.
You'll go somewhere.
Become genius.
Right.
Tracy Morgan or whoever. Yeah. So you never know with comedy, man. So I write nobody off anymore. Like, I've been wrong a lot.
You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
But even when I, like, would just see you periodically, because we don't see each other a lot.
No.
We'll see each other every couple of months.
Yeah, we should see each other a lot more, yeah.
But every time I see you, it's that same energy that I saw back in Uncle Clyde's. Mm-hmm. That I was like, yep, there's something magnetic about that.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna if he sticks with it, yeah. But then I've seen people that have that magneticism, and then they quit.
You know, it's funny, comedy friendships, people don't realize this, are based off who sticks around. It's not really like...
Right.
Whoever's still here after a couple of years, people drop off.
People drop off.
Think about how many kids who were probably in that competition with us who just aren't doing it anymore.
I would say every other one of them.
Probably.
Close to. If you say Kayvon was there, he's still around.
Kayvon was there.
But I don't remember anybody else a part of that is still... Yeah. I think you're right.
And most people run into what you ran into, which is a family, and they quit. You're still here, so... That's a testament to sticking to it and continue to work hard. Because you got three excuses why it would be harder for you. But, you know, guys who aren't meant to do it, just they can't hang. So,
yeah.
It's no excuse, man.
Or there's just something else there. Like, there's something, you know, one of my buddies, almost everybody that I, like, would go do shows with every single night,
mm-hmm.
they stopped doing
it.
Every single one of them dropped off. Then I went on tour twice with guys. And one of them does it down in Tampa. But the other two, not at all.
But you've been touring since, like, your second year, though. You were out there early, bro. No, you were.
In 2009,
you were out there early. Like, I don't think there was any comic who was touring as early as you. I can't name one. And me and Robbie talk about this all the time. Robbie Slow, comedian. You were gone quick. Like, yo, this kid's driving here, going here. Nobody was on the road like that. I'm still not on the road like that.
Well, I just wasn't... I didn't like going up and doing 5 minutes. I wasn't... gonna be the guy that hung out at the store and maybe got 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
The times that I hung out and got those opportunities, I was like, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
I can't even wipe my ass in 3 minutes.
Yeah, I can't grow with that.
So I was like, I gotta get out there, I gotta like stretch and see what I can build. Some guys can build here and in these short periods. I had to get out there.
Yeah. That's the game, bro. Every path is different, man. That's why when people ask me for advice or whatever, I go, every path is different. Like, I've never been put on any top 10 lists for stand-up. I never went to a festival as a stand-up. My show did, Roast Battle, but... So I can't tell you the regular Hollywood way to do it. I literally did every show I could get and asked every booker and sent in every... you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't have that... Somebody saw me at the Laugh Factory and I got an agent, I got a manager. It's like, no. So I don't know what to tell people. You just gotta figure it out, honestly.
You kind of fall backwards into it.
Yeah.
You kind of are looking forward and then, like, you fall backwards into something and then you're like, oh, that's how that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked we talked about Conan.
Mm-hmm.
You talked a little bit about Superior Donuts, mm-hmm. but for people who don't know what that is, it went 2 seasons on CBS.
Superior Donuts was a show starring Judd Hirsch and Jermaine Fowler and Katie Sagal. Major network show. We did 2 years, 2 seasons, great time. They didn't bring us back for the third season, but, you know.
That's you. Did I just drink your water?
Okay. But we had 2 seasons and, you know, for me as a stand up to get on the network show is a big deal.
Yeah.
So everybody who was like, hey, sorry, show I can't, man, what? I'm a stand up, bro. So to get on the network, I'm hoping to get on Comedy Central, get on Effect. That's my goal.
Right, right.
To go to CBS, I was like, and you gave me 2 seasons?
How'd that come about?
How'd it come about? I just got my reps with and then just random, they sent me in for an audition.
Did you know going in?
I didn't know what it was.
Was it called Superior Donuts when you went in?
I think I did, yeah.
Okay.
They were looking for a comic, and then they gave it to Jermaine, so like, okay, cool. He's like, well, can you come in to play his best, to play a cop?
I'm good.
I was like, whatever. I had this year of yes, because I was like, not year, but I was like, I say no to a lot of stuff, because I just don't want to do a lot of things that aren't my funny.
Okay.
And I was like, I gotta just say yes to audition. Just go in, even if you fail. Just stop being, you haven't made it. say yes to auditions. Okay. And I just humbled myself because I wasn't getting, my career wasn't where I wanted it to be. I was going everything. I was doing Black Jesus Christ Superstar. I was doing everything.
Yeah.
And I go in for the cop after they gave it to Jermaine for the main guy. Don't get it, but I was funny in the room. She said, well, maybe you could play the guest star, his best friend.
Yeah.
Or guest star role. So I came in, didn't read the script. I just kind of like, whatever. Just went in. This is the advice I will say. If people are listening, they care. They don't have to care. If you're doing a comedy, if going for a comedy audition, just be funny. The words are there. If you make them laugh, they'll at least call you back.
Right. Or think of you for something.
Think of you something else. Just be funny. If you're not good, at whatever, just be funny in the room. They've seen 100 people. If you're the person that makes them laugh naturally, they're gonna think about you and want you for something. And that's what I did. I went in there. It was 2 lines for a guest star, and I waited 30 minutes in audition. I went in there. I just made them laugh and I commented on them. They said, "Hey, come on, be our guest star." I was the guest star. I went to set. I had a great time. I made sure everybody knew my name because I was happy. I was just happy to be there. Like, this is CBS,
right?
And then next thing you know, they go, "Hey man, we need a, you know, we can't do a show about the inner city of Chicago and have one Black dude."
Yeah.
So would you want to be his best friend for the show, main cast? So they made me a cast member, a main cast member, and we we did 21. We did how many episodes? 30-something. So
30-something total.
30-something total. So 2 years. So it was great.
That's awesome. Did you know Jermaine going into it?
I'd met Jermaine a couple times.
Okay.
And I knew Moss a little bit from the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
But that's about it. So, but still, you know, anywhere comics can meet each other in the, you know, Tanzania, and we'll be like, "You're a comic? All right, we hanging out."
Yeah.
You know, we're like a fraternity.
I did jury duty in February, mm-hmm. and Patton Oswalt was there.
Was he?
And like, we talked a little bit because he was like, "Yeah, oh, comic."
Yeah.
Other people went up to him. He was kind of like lukewarm to him. Yeah. I went up to him and, "Hey man, I'm a comic. I think you're funny." He's like, "Oh hey."
That's how it works. That's how it works. You can even be like a famous comic and be somewhere where there's a regular, not famous comic, whatever, and you guys will automatically have a kinship.
I was bummed because we were put on the same jury together.
Really?
But then he called in sick on day 4. I was like, "Come on, dude, you can just leave. You want to see how this pans out?"
I know, right?
I tried on Twitter. I was like, "Hey man, you want to know what we did?" No answer.
It's funny. No, but yeah, comics. You know, so I got lucky, man. I got lucky just saying yes, dude. Really?
Yeah. Opportunities, you don't know where it's going to lead.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
You never know. I didn't want to do Conan. No offense to Conan, but you know, calls are coming in already. It's like you never know. So that's it's part of my ego, part of me grinding. It's a lot of things. So, but you know, we're kind of cut from the same. You, me, Robbie, we're kind of cut from the same cloth. Whereas where we hang out at these clubs, we go, we got to make our own path. You did that.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of doing that. Robbie's doing that. Robbie said, "I'm going to New York."
Yeah, that at the time it was like, what for? But it's been good for him.
It's been great for him. I think his career has moved way faster than it would have being in L.A.
Yeah, people know Robbie because he was on an earlier episode.
Okay,
yeah. So
Robbie Slovey opens for Gary Goldman. He was also on Conan.
Everybody's on Conan.
Conan's handing out work, man.
That's good. That's good. For a while there, it was kind of slim pickings, it seemed like.
Yeah, but
none of the shows were putting comics on.
Yeah, but what's great is that they're going to half hours now. And so he has a Comedy Records thing. He's going to put up comics more. He's all about stand-ups. He's going to put out more stand-ups.
You think even when Conan moves to a half hour,
definitely. They told me this. They want comedy. Conan whispered in my ear. You know when they always whisper to you when people are clapping?
Yeah.
He goes, "Thank you, because this is the one part of the show I don't have to worry about. This is all you."
Yeah.
You guys. So, you know, makes their job easier.
Went out there and did it. What was anything, did anything catch you by surprise when you walked out of those curtains to take the stage at Conan?
No, man. You know why? Because I went with Robbie and I was comfortable already.
Were you in the audience when Robbie was
there?
No,
I was backstage. Okay. I was backstage. So I saw what he had to go walk through, the process. Right. So it kind of showed me, oh, okay. And then I saw the crowd. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, we do bigger crowds.
Yeah.
Every day. Conan fits like 200. We Laugh Factory's 250.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they want to laugh because mm-hmm. they're probably from some other city and they've never been to Conan before.
Right.
They don't see, they probably never seen stand up. So that's the best crowds because they're like, "Oh, this is amazing." They're not jaded.
Isn't it wild how many people, like, you go to, and they say, "This is my first stand up show." You're comedy? Like, what? You're 45.
Stand up comedy isn't a popular live show thing.
That's
though. It's a small group of people, but it's so many people in America, you think it is. But it's not a big, it's not like bands playing.
No.
So people who've never seen it, when they see a, even an average comic, they'll be like, oh my God, wow, he was great.
How are you not the best comedian, the biggest comedian in the world?
Exactly. So imagine them seeing like a, you know, Seinfeld or right. Kevin Hart or whatever. And so, I saw it with Robbie. I walked through it with him. I was chilling. I was eating the food. I'm like, oh, it's not that intimidating. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I have done bigger audiences. Not to brag. Just
right.
At this point in my career, we've all done a significant size audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So by the time I did it, I wasn't nervous. I had met JP a bunch of times. The Booker.
So
yeah.
Did you talk to Conan beforehand?
No, I didn't get to meet Conan. Man, he's running around and.
Right,
but I had a long talk with Andy Richter, which was great. After the show, we talked for like 15 minutes.
Oh, that's awesome! Cool.
So he told me some things, gave me some jewels. But
are you the actual last part of what they filmed?
I was.
They put it out in the same.
Good night, Real Battle. Good night. I was the band at the end. I was the show.
That's very cool. And you flew your brother in for that.
Terrence came in, my twin brother Terrence. Because I had a bit about a twin. And I just wanted him to be there, and then I was making fun of him, so...
Was he nervous?
I don't know. He never... We didn't talk about it.
Because the camera went to him.
But he's probably not.
Said that's
my
brother.
I just wanted... I'm talking junk about him, so he should be there to witness me talking trash about him.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, makes people feel better. It was nice. Yeah. It had relation, and you guys looked the damn same.
Yeah.
You know, I always wondered about twins. Like, is it hard? It must be impossible... Because he was there at the Improv last night when we were all watching it, and I was watching his face watch you, and I could see he was proud and happy. Mm-hmm. But I always wondered, like, as twins, like, specifically identical twins, if you ever feel like it'd be hard not to compare yourself to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had everything that person had.
Yeah.
Like, we were the exact same coming out of the gate.
He thinks that, since we grew up the same environment, same parents, same neighborhood, that we have the same skill, the same talent.
Right.
He really believes that. He's like, I could do this if I wanted to. It's like, no.
And you don't think he could?
No. I think comedic tone is born in you, and then you just kind of mold it. It's like a superhero. You get your power. We all have talent.
Sure, but do you think it was not born in him, and he just didn't mold it?
No, I just, because I feel like from my around my friends, I was naturally a funny guy.
Yeah,
Terrence wasn't.
Right.
He was always a serious dude. He had a couple of jokes like everybody does, but he wasn't. He didn't think of comedy more than that. He wasn't naturally funny growing up.
Right.
But he was a great athlete. I ran really fast. I was a really good athlete. My brother, I just couldn't beat my brother in running. He was always naturally faster. You know what I'm saying?
But was that hard for you then to get over that? You're like, man, we're the same. We're
you know
cut
why?
From the same damn
you know,
thing.
You know why? No, because I never, my parents didn't treat us like twins. They treated us like two brothers. So Terrell was good in English, Terrence was good in math. I never had that. People expect that. I never had that competitive edge, or maybe like the clothes or stuff, or get more money, or cut more yards. But we never had like, he was an athlete. I was happy for him. I was the funny guy, and I was cool with that. You know what I mean? Because I got
the perfect mix.
Yeah, he was Terrence was he was every day. Terrence Battle scores 3 touchdowns. He's an all county running back, and Terrence Battle on the intercom. Uh-huh. And I'd be like that. Yeah, I'd be like that, bro. That's what's up.
That wasn't you announcing it.
No,
and there he goes.
Yeah, but I was class clown, and I was writing for the school paper, and and that's part of Terrence's frustration. He felt like you were probably hating on me back. Like, nah, I never really cared.
Yeah.
And so now, but he does think he could be funny as me, or he could. It's like, no, bro. And you don't have the patience. He doesn't have the patience to do all those horrible open mics that we
almost
gotta do.
Nobody does.
Nobody
that's
does.
The reason. So many people start and then quit after 6
And the
months.
Funny thing is, that's my favorite part of comedy. Open mics. It's weird.
Yeah?
It's weird. A good open mic. I have more fun on a good open mic than I do on a great crowd.
A good supportive open mic is nice.
Because a great crowd, I'm still trying to show off. I'm presenting you what I have. I'm doing well. I'm trying to give you this show. Open mic, there's no pressure. I feel free. I can try new stuff. If it doesn't work, who cares?
Right.
And I'm a good joke is genuinely good when I discover it on stage. And a regular crowd, I know this joke is supposed to make you laugh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know where this is going. You know
sure.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I enjoy good open mics more than shows, which is, I don't know if most comics feel that way.
Now, when you say open mics, though, you're talking about you go and you kind of know when you're going on, though. Not a lottery. You don't do shows.
No, no, no. I'm talking about good, like...
Like a good, ha-ha, solid, yeah.
15 people, they're listening, middle of it.
Right.
I could try this new bit. I could be as dirty or raw as I want or as clean. I can discover the joke on stage and they laugh with me. That's, to me, that's fun. When I go to do a show, it's always fun on the show, but I know where my set is going. I'm not going to discover anything, most likely.
When you write a joke, does it typically come out clean or does it come out dirty?
It comes out how it comes out. Yeah. I don't really judge it like that.
You don't have a desired way that it will go, though? Like, do you ever try and clean something up or like, hey, let me take this look, honestly, down a little darker path?
I go for the funny.
Right.
If it's funny clean, it works better.
Okay.
If it's funny dirty, it works. I don't really think about it. Because I think the dirtiness doesn't make it funny. You're just cussing for no reason.
Right.
You're not going anywhere. If it's funny, it's funny, whether it's a cuss word in there or not.
My instinct is to find the dirtiest part, though, and for me, is to see if it's as funny cleaned up.
Yeah.
That's my instinct. Like, when I do that, but then I do a lot of shows where I'm required to be clean.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
So
I do a lot of shows where I'm required, it's dark, it's some shows are hood, some shows are not.
Filth.
You know what I'm saying? So, you watch Richard Pryor, even when you take the curse words out, it's still funny.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So, I never think about it like that. Is this joke funny?
Richard, it was less about the curse and more about the rhythm, I felt like.
Yeah.
Like, when he said it at the end, it felt like there's a rhythm to that. There's a sound. It's not the word that he's saying.
Yeah.
So that's why he never felt altogether that dirty unless the topic was dirty.
Exactly. I always used to study why people thought Richard was the greatest, because he's way beyond our generation before.
Right.
And when I study, like, his special, the one in Long Beach with the gold shoes, and it's like, people don't realize, Richard, you got it?
Is this it?
No, that's the second one. Second or third. Live on the Sunset was second, I think. And this is the one.
Here and Now?
This is before he burned, after he burned. Yeah. So, the first one, it was in Long Beach, he created the context that we all still use. Before Richard Pryor, people didn't realize this was, comics would just sit there with the things on their elbow sleeves and like, my wife is crazy and I just flew in, and you know, and it was a very structured thing.
Right.
Richard was the first one to say, you know what? I'm going to take the microphone out the stand and I might roll on the ground. I might do a voice. I might impersonate a dog. I might sit that and do a character that you don't think is funny for 5 minutes. He was the first one to really take it beyond just a job. Okay. You know, that
I guess I never made that connection with him.
That life became to everybody else was just trying to impress the audience. Hey, you doing blah, blah, blah. Richard, you would forget you were there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And take out the curse and stuff. He was the freest of all. Hey, this happened today. I'm going to talk about this today, whether you like it or not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why our comics always quote Richard as why he's the greatest. And then you can see that in the work of Chappelle, the work of, you know, Eddie Murphy. You know what I mean?
In your mind, is he the greatest?
Overall,
yeah.
I get why he's the greatest. To me personally, though.
Like, you don't laugh the hardest at him.
Because I'm not connected to that time.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to look back.
It's hard to look back. But, like, Jordan, Jordan's not the greatest to me, personally.
Is that right?
To me. Because I get more excitement from what LeBron and
Kobe
does. I'm 33. Okay. But I can get why people love Richard, but I'm not to that time. Eddie was the guy, it was like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is the dopest thing in the world.
Right.
Chappelle is our god now. You know what I mean? The way we look at Chappelle now is how the old heads looked at Richard. You know what I mean? When I talked to Marlon Wayans, Richard was everything because of his time. Richard, you know?
Yeah.
Eddie too, but Chappelle comes to a club now and we go crazy.
It's weird. I look at him differently now. I think he's less funny now.
Who?
Chappelle.
Think he's less funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The times I've seen him in clubs, like, I know he's working on stuff, but the stakes are so low.
Yeah.
That I feel like he almost brings
nothing. You like his special?
These last four that he did out on Netflix?
The last two that he did.
One was significantly better than the other. Mm-hmm. That's my bad. One was significantly better than the other, but I did not think they even sniffed. What were the ones when he was wearing the blue, all blue?
Killing Him Softly.
Killing Him Softly.
Well, that was his
And the one right before that, or the one right after that, I thought was fantastic. Those two, to me, are what I remember.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle being great. These now is different. It's almost more of a lecture or a TED Talk. It's very interesting, but I don't laugh as hard as I did back then.
I think it's a little bit of an evolution, because back then he wasn't married, he didn't have any kids, he was smoking weed every day, he was in the clubs every day.
Right.
It was a whole different view of him. The world was different.
Yeah.
Now it's like he's a grown man with kids, he's paying taxes, he cares about the world. So I think it's an evolution of a grown man, Dave Chappelle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which they always say we should grow. I don't know, but...
Definitely, it's why, and I hate it in a way, because when something's so great, you're like, just give me more of that. But then people get sick of that.
People get sick of that. People don't want to hear about you talking about the same things.
And I mean, even in sports, like, people are now sick of the Warriors just being great all the time. They want somebody else to win. So it's like, you know, you see that happen, and you want something different, but then they give you something different. You're like, but I like the old... So it's almost a lose-lose situation, but that's why these musical artists, like Taylor Swift just came out with all this new sounding, like she's not the country girl anymore.
Yeah.
She's this other thing, and I'm like, this
She's been that pop thing for a while, though,
right? Yeah, she's been, probably the last, whatever, 5 years or something, but you're like, this isn't what made you popular, but they're like, no, it's...
It's what's selling.
I likened it to, like, why, you know, Walmart changes the interior of their store. They'll, like, move the pharmacy over here and, like, move this. Because you got to keep exploring. If you know exactly what you're doing, you get bored.
That's true.
So I guess we got to do that.
Yeah.
But is that something... That's just a natural progression. You can't
you can't force... Like, for example, I don't have kids now. So my stuff is all single guy.
Right.
Whatever I'm going through in my, like... If I had three little tykes like you, naturally my... material would be mature.
It has. Like, getting married in 2008, now I've been married for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, and now kids these last 4 years. It's very heavily, like, family-oriented.
So that's natural, and you have to do that.
It's very natural, but I do find myself fighting against it, like... Because I've had to do a couple colleges in the last couple of years. You can't go in there and be like, hey, guys, marriage, huh?
You had that strong... You had really strong single material, and then I mean... But it'll relate, because, you know, I look at it. I look at Kevin Hart has the ability to do this. That's why he's good. Kevin Hart can make marriage and the boredom of kids and all that. He still makes it seem young. Right. I don't know how he does it. The energy.
Because he's small.
Because he's so small and he's so ridiculous. He's so ridiculous that you go, okay, he's a kid with kids, you know?
Yeah.
Gaffigan does it well, too. I don't know how Gaffigan does it, too. Gaffigan does it pretty well. But I don't know. That's something you got to deal with, not me.
You know what? My wife, when she was pregnant with the second kid, she got Gaffigan's book about being a dad. She got it on tape, and she's like, listen to this with me. It'll be fun. And I was like, all right, yeah, when I'm home, I'll, you know, we'll put it in, we'll fall asleep to it or whatever. And I listened to maybe the first 5 minutes. I was like, I cannot listen to this because he's about to read 8 hours of kids' material. I'll have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Because if another comedian, like, has anything even close to it, I drop that bit.
Yeah.
I don't even want anything.
But, like, I mean, it's kids' material, and it's, like, a lot of people talk about their family. How do you, because there's so much you can talk about, how do you determine what's too close?
So much of it, and I think, you know, a lot of guys then end up doing this, is they just talk about personal stories, things that actually happen. Yeah. So then you're like, well,
it's unique to you.
It's, yes. It may be a butt-wiping joke, like, essentially, but this is my story of it. This is my take on it. Mm. But when she was listening to that, I was like, oh, I can't listen to this, because now this is all I'll think. When that happens to us, that's what I'll think. I'll think of his joke.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. So I just stopped.
You're right.
Do you consume a lot of comedy? Do you watch?
No, man. I don't watch anything anymore. One, because I don't have time, but... nothing makes me laugh. Like, I don't...
Isn't that weird, as comics?
Because we know comedy. You know, I always tell people, if we would put the time that we put into comedy into school, we'd all be doctors. We'd all be brain surgeons. You know what I'm saying?
Uh huh.
Because of the time we put in and going every day studying, working on it. So it's hard. I don't really find.
You know, meet people we'd kill and be like, you know what? There'll be another one tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Don't worry about it. But that's how you have to think like that. You as a surgeon,
it's a doctor, right?
The baby died. The guy died on the table. All right, well, get over it.
Yeah,
you're a heart surgeon.
You can't internalize every person that you see.
Yeah, that's how sets are. We don't kill. We kill. No, I don't watch a lot of comedy, man. Whenever there's, like, somebody new, that's always interesting. Some new kids, funny. Everybody's, this guy, this new dude, he's a new guy.
Right.
That I'll watch, but we've seen each other's act. We know comedy.
Yeah.
Very few comics really impressed me. Roy Wood is one of the few comics I thought was pretty dope. His special. I like Chappelle's special. Unlike you, I'm not blasphemous to the great Dave Chappelle. You want to see your friends win, but I can't watch a lot of comedy. That's something that's like something. I don't find a lot of movies funny.
Yeah.
Comedy. I think I'm jaded. I mean,
what was the last really funny movie you saw?
Funny?
Really funny movie.
Funny movie I saw. I want to say this might sound crazy. I was on the plane. I watched Mike and Dave's Wedding with Adam Devine.
Oh yeah, yeah. That were made they're me like laugh. In Hawaii or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, that made me laugh.
I think I saw that on a plane too, but Sam I only Richardson, caught like half of it.
Sam Richardson was on it. He's funny. That movie made me laugh, but I don't really. Nothing. I don't know. I can't think. Nothing really. YouTube videos, dude.
Yeah.
I laugh at YouTube and Snapchat stuff, Black Twitter stuff. Like,
it's hard when a comedy will put out a trailer. And they're like, well, we got to put our best jokes in the trailer. Mm-hmm. But then you see the movie, you're like, yeah, you put the best jokes now I've seen.
Yeah.
I've the seen best. That. So, like, why did I just waste another hour, 28 minutes?
What made you laugh lately?
The last really funny movie I saw? Oof. I don't know. We watched Game Night.
That was funny.
The other night. That was funny.
I saw that. That was funny.
It was surprising. I didn't know a lot about it.
Yeah.
It was funny.
That was funny. Okay. So I'm excited for Arrested Development to come back. I think it'll be funny again.
It came out, right?
Did it come back out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Season 5. It wasn't. Season 4 wasn't good.
Oh, man.
Season 4 wasn't good. Season 5.
You know what it is?
The first episode.
I like how creative they are. That's my view. Yes. I go, okay.
It's interesting.
That's my funny now. Interesting.
Interesting is funny. That's why you like Dave Chappelle.
You know what I mean? That's my funny now. What angle can you do that I can't think of, I haven't thought of?
Right.
Because it's all angles. What take this joke that everybody's talking about. What makes your joke different? And it's like, okay, I didn't even see it from here. I think Dave has that ability. Because like when he did the beat about the Me Too movement. And, you know, there's no way you could do a joke about Me Too. And he was against it. And I think he kind of figured it out. Like, I got to approach this in a way that you won't get offended, but I can still make my point. So he's really good at that stuff. So that's probably what I find funny now at this point. But no comedies really.
Yeah.
That bad?
It's bad. I mean, it's kind of like, if you take it back to the doctor route, it's kind of like one brain surgeon, you know, doing something and then looking at another brain surgeon and being like, what do you think about that? And he's like, well, I
do the same thing.
I do that thing too.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said. And yeah, I'll sit back and I will admire something, but I will rarely laugh out loud.
Yeah.
If I'm in the back of a comedy club.
Yeah. So I guess we're jaded, bro.
And if I do, it's probably something that the rest of the audience didn't laugh that hard at.
Yeah.
Like, it's some weird thing. But then I get hesitant about going down that road because then you get too creative. Like, I don't want to be... I would be unsatisfied being underappreciated in my time. Like, I would be unsatisfied... I would rather be someone who was seen as great and funny and made a ton of people laugh and then maybe didn't age well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe 20 years after he died, people are like, I don't get it. I'd rather be that guy...
Bill Hicks.
I'd rather be... Well, but he was even a little bit... But he was even a little bit like, I think... Well, I guess I don't know how people took him in the day. Do you think he was mainstream?
I think he was popular, but then now, especially our generation, comics kind of go, I don't get what's so big.
Right. I would rather be big and then not seen, I guess, in 20 years as something great than, like, seen as not great and then 20 years later people are like, that guy... He really had it.
Really?
Yep.
You don't think Louis was that? Louis was just kind of skitting along?
Well, but Louis was alive to... It, you know, I'm talking about, like, Hedberg. Like, Hedberg's probably more famous now than he ever was when he was alive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, now people think Hedberg.
Yeah,
Hedberg,
that's true.
Like,
that's a good point.
They didn't say that much when he was alive.
Yeah, because I didn't discover Hedberg till like, the year he died.
Right.
That's when I first discovered him. So I was like, okay. Yeah? So, but Hedberg... Nah, appreciate me now.
Right? Yeah. After I'm gone, love me now, bro. Matter?
I don't care what you think after I'm gone. Love me now.
Yeah.
Because when I'm gone, I'm not going to be able to feel it.
So when you're on Superior Donuts, how much leeway did you have to like, improvise a joke on set?
Not a lot, man.
Not a lot?
They're very tight.
Is that hard?
For me, it was extremely hard.
Because you ever say something and you're like, man, I feel like this other thing is funnier.
For David Koechner, you know David Koechner? He played, he's on Anchorman.
Champ on Anchorman.
He is super hard for him because he's an improv genius.
Right,
he's like,
right.
he's like, you know, that's his thing. And he would just hit us with jokes. He was the funniest guy on the set, off the camera.
Oh, yeah.
He would hit with jokes all day.
Yeah.
And we didn't use a lot of it. And that's not because they were trying to hinder us. Just like, they have a set. They know their audience. CBS has what they want. You know, everybody's working for somebody, and we got to get it right. So we were pretty tight with that. And, you know, I always say, if behind the scenes or the rehearsals were taped, we'd be the best show on TV. I always say that.
Yeah.
And I mean it. If we were allowed to, you know, but...
They probably did tape the rehearsals, didn't they?
They didn't air them.
Right, but there's probably... that would be an interesting thing to go back and, like, cut together rehearsals of some, like, shows with great improvisers and great things.
Yeah, it's the best show on TV. But we also have our audience who probably would think a lot of our stuff is offensive.
Sure.
And it might not fit their brand a little bit. It would probably be a little bit more racy. So we understood.
Yeah.
But naturally, I'm a comic, though. I don't believe in levels. I believe in funny. So everybody doesn't believe that.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah. Let's cut together these rehearsals, take it to HBO.
Yeah. So we didn't get to do... But every once in a while... Great thing about my character, he was such a small, insignificant character. I would just say stuff, and they would just totally ignore it, because they weren't even thinking about my lines.
That was in the script, right?
I got in a lot of jokes just because they didn't care, you know?
Did you ever want to write an episode?
Nah.
Did you know some of the writers?
Yeah, I know all of them. You know Hugh Moore?
I know the name.
You know Dan St. Germain?
Uh-huh.
Who else is there?
So you know some of those guys beforehand?
Some of them stand-ups.
Yeah.
Hugh Moore's a stand-up, and Dan St. Germain's stand-up.
Germain's got a great voice.
Yeah.
Did
Dan St. Germain.
Right, right.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
Right,
Germain Fowler, yeah, he's a bearded dude.
Right, right, yeah. I think that would be hard, though, like, as a writer, St. Germain, was he ever in an episode?
It had to be tough, because he's a stand-up to the core.
Right.
So he couldn't do stand-up a lot. So you got a stand-up who can't do stand-up, because you're working, you know, 8 to 12 hours a day.
Right.
So he wanted to get out as much as possible. So
was he ever on the show?
No.
See, that's why it made a lot of sense, like in shows like The Office, where those actors
they come
were
on the
pretty
show.
Much writing.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it felt like a unique, funny show, and you knew that the new characters knew each other so well. NBC's good about that, but some networks don't let you do it.
It's so weird whenever I audition for a commercial or something, and like one of the, one of the ad guys... we'll go, hey, here's how you should do it, and he does it. I'm like, what? That was great.
Yeah.
Why don't you just do it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you just did it perfectly.
Yeah. Exactly.
And guys often that are writing are like, they know why it's funny, and they can be the funny.
Yeah. So who knows, bro?
You never had the desire to write one.
Nah. The hours for that show is just a lot. It's like 12 hours, dude. They be there all night now.
Did you do a lot of stand up when you were filming?
Yeah. I was able to still get up as much. I was able, because I'm out, you know, we're out by 5, if that late.
So as a person that's not in every scene, did you have to do a lot of hanging, though?
Yeah. It's very hard. I gained 20, 30 pounds.
You gained 20 or 30 pounds?
I did.
I don't see it. Did you lose it?
I lost it now, but you got to understand, man, we work maybe 2 hours a day on a network sitcom. TV is the best gig in the world. For you. If I were you, that would be the job I would be trying to get right now.
Yeah.
Outside of doing touring. And you have a great story. This could be a TV show tomorrow. Because you work from 10 to maybe 1.
Yeah.
Most of the days. You're there late on the tape day. So you're there for probably 12 hours on the tape day.
Yeah.
Other than that, you're working there for 3-4 hours, maybe, tops.
But you're knocking the whole episode out in one day?
You're rehearsing for a week and you knock it out in one day.
Yeah.
2 days, maybe, if you wanted to pre-tape. We were getting 2 meals a day. We were getting a meal every 2 hours. Full course meals every 2 hours. I'm talking about steaks, burgers... Right. Full course meals every 2 hours. So I'm there, I'm working 2 hours, and then I'm number 8 on the call sheet. So I'm working an hour, Nick. But I'm there the whole day sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm just eating. I had nothing to do. I'm just chilling in my room on the internet, writing jokes. It was great for my career because I was able to write more.
Sure.
And I was able to develop shows and stuff in my dressing room. But I gained about 20 pounds, man. I got up to like 184. I'm like 174 now.
Craft services is there, and you're just mowing down.
Just
and
eating.
That's the crap that looks good, too.
Yeah, bro. You understand, man. It's just, meatloaf looks good if it's made from a billion-dollar company.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was eating, brother.
So you mentioned briefly creating shows. Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk about that, too, because people, you know, that are listening should know, you're one of the creators of Roast Battle.
Yes, sir.
On Comedy Central. And they just, I read some article the other day, it got picked up to, like, all these other different countries.
Yeah, we're going to, they're going to, we don't get paid for that, unfortunately.
You don't get paid for that?
None of us do, no.
Someone's getting paid. What, they're just allowed to, like reverse
it's
engineer
like,
it?
It's like different entities, so it's like, Comedy Central England isn't connected to Comedy Central LA.
Right.
And Comedy Central,
so they can just steal your idea?
They can just, as if, hey, it's working for us, you can do this too. I'm sure they're getting it, but the creators aren't getting, yeah. It's a lot, man.
That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It doesn't, but I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
So, but it is what it is at this time.
Okay, well, it's going good here.
Yeah.
What's coming? Season 3?
Season 3 of the American version is happening in August, I believe. And it's going to be good. We'll see.
How was that show created?
Two comics wanted to fight in the belly room. They wanted to fist fight. They hated each other.
Two comics wanted to fight. Do we know who they are?
No, they're not important. I don't know. Anyway, so it used to be open mic there. And my ex-partner used to host the open mic. And I would just be there hanging out, and I would go up last. Because I like going up either first on the show or last on open mic.
Right.
I like the worst possible conditions for my set. And I would just be there every day, and I would just be making fun of whoever was there. Just, that's what I do. I was just,
right.
In that room, I was the vet. Even though I was, like, nothing, I was, like, the king open micer. You know what I'm saying? And so these two comics tried to fight, and we were just like, man, y'all don't fight, just roast each other. And they started just horribly roasting each other, and I would roast them. And then the show, just the people that were there was like this, just like it was like a roar.
Just kind of took off.
And then we did it again the next night. Two comics who had problems with each other. The next Tuesday, who have had problems with each other. And we said, you know what? Let's try to make this a thing. And then we got together. We organized it. We structured it. It was called the Rail Battle, because I was like the main judge, whatever. Uh-huh. And then as it grew up bigger, it was like we should probably call it something else because nobody knows what Real Battle is. And then we got Jeff Ross involved, and then celebrities start coming, and then once celebrities start coming to your show every week,
yeah.
Not like comics, I'm talking about like Jordan Belfort, like the Real Wolf of Wall Street,
right,
and
right.
John Mayer and Russell Simmons, and then it became a thing, and Comedy Central bought it, and they sent me a nice check. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, producer credit.
Producer credit, yeah. So,
do you have any other input on it right now?
No, I could hit up like about who's good, who's a nice comic, but it's like it's mailbox money. I don't really have to I don't have to do anything anymore. Once they buy your show, they just kind of take it over and they do what they want.
Do you watch it?
No, I haven't. I've seen 1,000 of them. Yeah. I had five in the country at one point.
Do you feel like it's better when the comics actually don't like each other, or when they actually have admiration for each other?
I like them both, man.
Yeah?
I like them both, because when you hate somebody, you're meaner. When you like each other, you're more creative. That makes sense?
Right.
So I like a combination of both.
I like it when it comes off as love, too.
Yeah. I don't know, when it comes from a place of angst...
Right.
You're really competing to beat this person. You can really see it in their face. You can really see the competition.
Right, and that to me is not as fun.
I like it both, man. We need both of those, because at the end of the day, what makes the show work is the controversy as well as the good jokes.
Sure.
So, these two comics hate each other. I want to see them battle. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the second round will be two girls who are best friends.
Right.
And they're going to talk about how much you're a whore, whatever.
And they're going to know a little more personal stuff about each other.
Exactly. So, I think both... Listen, when comics almost fight, that gets the show talking. This isn't meant to be just kind. This is meant to be energy, and people hear about it.
Right.
But when comics love each other and it's fun, it's good too. So I can't act like the controversy hasn't helped the show as well. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, it's better than fighting.
Right.
So come roast, and they get their things out. There are plenty of comics who hated each other, roasted, and they're cool now. You know what I mean?
You created the show with Brian Moses, and... because I honestly don't know, and if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to, but you said ex-partner.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something with you and Brian?
Things happen, man.
Because I honestly don't know.
It's at the end of the day, it's,
And if you don't want to talk about it...
No, whatever. I don't think about that. I'm doing so much better now. I'm doing good. At the end of the day, you know, any business, you have partners, you don't see eye to eye creatively sometimes. and then you you figure out a way to get what you need out of the relationship, and you move on. Just like parents get divorced, you still want your baby to be successful.
Yeah.
My parents got divorced. My dad still came to my games. You know what I'm saying? So parents get divorced, didn't work out creatively. You want your child to be great, child successful. Everybody's getting paid. Everybody's executive producers.
Yeah.
I have a New York show. There's an LA show as well. I support that show 100%. I had a show in Boston. I had a San Fran. I had one in Toronto.
Are you and Brian still friends?
Nah, it was too much had happened in between it. Okay. But you know, I got no ill will to nobody. Like, I mean, after your show gets on Comedy Central and you're getting paid well, and you have a bunch of shows in another city, and you're on Superior Donut, it's like I haven't even thought about that show.
Right.
So it's just like you move on. It's like high school, man. You cool certain people. You grow up. You go to college, and you can't hang out with your high school friends no more. You know.
Right.
So it'll be for Brian.
Do you only see your brother from high school?
See my brother? What do you mean?
Like you said, you don't hang out with your high school friends anymore. Is that just like a way, a figure of speech, or do you have high school friends that you're still very tight with?
I do, but I live in LA. I live in DC.
Yeah.
So I mean, you get your friends back home. You like.
Yeah.
When you go in town, you see them.
You go in town, you see him, you talk to him on the phone.
You got a family. Yeah. You got, like, when you go home, you're with your mom. You're not, hey, I'm in town, but it's like they got their families. Yeah. So, you know.
So what's next for you?
I shot a pilot about a month ago for Comedy Central.
Nice.
And hopefully they like it.
Something you made or something you auditioned for?
Something I created.
Nice.
And hopefully they like it. I hope the Conan thing hopefully helps push that a little bit.
Yeah. All these things build on each other.
Yeah. Yeah, they build. And I hope the Conan thing works out for that. And then a couple other stuff I'm trying to move. I'll probably go on tour. Not Nick Hoffman touring. I don't do like you. I don't get the big dates. But I'll probably go on tour this fall.
Okay.
And, that'd be cool. What about you?
What would be the ideal? Like doing a road date twice a month? Or for like 3 months in a row and then just being local for the other 9 months? Or what?
Honestly, man, I'm not a road guy.
I
learned that. I can't be like you do. How many weeks a week, year you do?
Probably 30, 35.
That's crazy to me. You got to do it. I get it. But you've always been doing that. I hate that. I can do about maybe 2 months straight weekends. Maybe three. About probably two. And I need to be back. I need to be in some place.
Yeah.
I can't.
Do you have enough going on, though? Like, that's what I find. I find, like, okay, I miss out on some opportunities here in Los Angeles when I'm on the road. So then I think, okay, I'll be in L.A. for a month here. Mm-hmm. And then I just sit here, and maybe a couple things pop up, but then I'm just sitting here.
But that's the thing. Writing. I make sure that if I don't want to, you got to figure out, if I don't want to be on the road, I got to be having stuff, auditions and stuff. I get on my agents, I press them like, hey man, never be scared to leave your situation. I gotta do this. If I didn't, I would be like, I'm going on the road. And I know comics who don't want to be, they hate being in town.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Chris DeLee, that book, he's doing 40, he's doing crazy weekends. He just loves being traveling.
Right.
So I'm not that guy, so I gotta make sure, hey, when I get back from the road, what are auditions? What are we doing? We're moving. Come on, we're making money, y'all. Let's do it.
You call him up and you...
Hey, what we doing? Let's go. You making money. You making money off of my product. I want to make sure that you make your money. So then for that to happen, I got to make my money.
And that works.
That's your job. You know, it's not rude. It's just like, hey, your job is to find me work. My job is to go get the job. You give me the room. You just give me the room. I'm going to go get the job. I'm going to make you money so I can make money. We're a team.
There you go.
We're a team. LeBron, hey, I'm the point guard or LeBron is the forward. I'm still the ball. Your job, Kyle Korver, is to make the three. That's your job.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold the ball now. I'm going to distribute. You make the three. We're in the same. We're all trying to win. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Yeah.
That's a good attitude, though, too.
Yeah.
I don't have... I need to have more of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of the guy that just... I'll be the... Not the squeaky wheel. I'll be the wheel that just rusts.
I've had enough situations where I just missed out opportunities or I wasn't aggressive enough.
Yeah.
And it's always, we as artists have this fear of losing out, or we don't mess up, we don't want to burn this bridge, we don't want to piss this person off. And I just can't live my life like that. Okay. I want to succeed in this business. And I can't be worried about everybody who doesn't like me. I know naturally I'm a pretty decent person. I'm not an asshole to everybody.
Right.
Naturally.
Not to everybody.
So that's everybody. At the end of the day, I'm trying to make my career work.
Yeah.
So I have to be stern about my business. And if that means a couple people aren't going to like the way I approached, I got to live with that.
They were going to like you anyway.
They're going to like you anyway. You're not going to... Everybody's going to hate you. Somebody's not going to like you.
The nicest guy in the world. People hate the Pope.
People hate the Pope.
I'll bet he's a decent dude.
There are people who didn't like, remember Angelo Bowers?
Yeah.
People had problems with Angelo
Bowers. People had problems with him?
The nicest guy in the world. So I cannot hinder my moving forward because somebody doesn't like, I emailed them twice about this gig they were supposed to get me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
At what point do you cut yourself off then? Like, how do you differentiate the line between being aggressive and being annoying?
I take the time to put myself in their shoes.
Uh-huh.
I really try to do that all the time and say, should I be doing this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For example, if I'm on a CBS show, this is some real industry shit. I don't know if people even care.
Well, I think this is good. I think it applies to any industry,
yeah.
I think, this type of tenacity and
okay, well, and drive. I'll give you an example. If I'm on a CBS television show, we got a second season. I created Roast Battle, mm-hmm. which is on Comedy Central. I've built a pretty decent stand-up career, and I've toured. I've been to book shows myself. If you can't get me on Conan, you're not doing something right. That's okay. On you at this point. Because most people on Conan, I look at, like, most people on Conan don't really have anything yet.
Yeah.
They're not on show. They're trying to get to shows. Whatever.
Right, right, right.
So, from my point of view, me being in the industry, it's not arrogance. This is just, my resume says I should be able to get a 5-minute stand-up spot on Conan.
Right.
That's what my resume says. This isn't me, my ego. I'm on a TV show. I've done this work.
You could pretty much panel on Conan, so you might as well be able
exactly.
to do stand-up.
I've done the work necessary beyond to be on Conan,
mm-hmm.
to be number two on the panel. So for a 5-minute set,
sure.
Now it's on you.
So then, do you say that to them, or they know that working on you,
from working with me? I'm very. The one thing I think I require is honesty.
Sure.
So when a casting agent says we don't like him, we don't think he's a good actor, we don't like that scene, he's not our fit, I want to know that. What did I do wrong in that room? I have no ego with this. I think I'm meant to be in this business as an entertainer.
As comedians, we need that honesty. That's why we love stand-up, because it's
immediate honesty. Tell me why I wasn't good in that audition. Tell me why, so I can get better.
Right.
I want to grow. That's why I do open mics. That's why I bomb at open mics.
Also,
still.
It didn't have to be that way.
It didn't have to be that way.
I could have done it a different way. Like, let me know so next time.
Let me know. I'd rather grow. I got no. I was bad. Everybody was bad.
Sure.
We don't know how bad Chappelle was when he started. We don't know how bad, I don't know, Seinfeld was. No one cares.
I'm telling you, Chappelle has been bad in the last 2 years. I've seen him do bad twice.
I'm not going to go that far. But
I will go that far.
Okay, Nick Hoff said, I'm not going to go that far.
Dave, call me,
man. I think he's one of the few comics who can do whatever and work it out. And because when he gets to the special, he's going to be ready.
Oh, for sure. But I've seen him do sets at clubs where I'm like, there was very little funny about that.
I think
from a stand-up point of view.
I think he's figuring it out. I think he sits there and he's like, I'm going to just figure this shit out.
Absolutely.
Because his regular sold-out shows are our open mics.
Exactly.
You know? So I look at it like that. I go, you know, what are we doing wrong? And listen, you're the best business. I think if I'm working with you as an agent or manager, I think you're good at your job.
Yeah.
So, and they always tell you, you're the leader of your team. You're the LeBron of this Cavaliers team. You're the CEO of the company. So I treat that. Since you tell me that, I treat myself like the CEO.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if I'm the CEO of the company, right? If I'm LeBron, I got to hold you accountable as my representation.
How many times a week do you talk to them?
I talk to my manager almost every other day. He's my, like, we're like friends. Like, we know.
Okay.
You know? So he dishes out a lot of the stuff. A lot of it goes through him, too.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, this is whole thing about the wall, you don't want to seem as. But when something's more serious, then I have that. We need to have a sit down. I'm not afraid to have a sit down. Actors and comics and entertainers are afraid to talk to your representative. They are getting 10% or whatever of your money.
Right.
This is their job. A good manager and agent shouldn't have a problem sitting down with their client, not every day, but once in a while, once every couple of months.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If they have a problem with speaking to you on the phone, hey, can we not email? Can you call me this week?
Yeah.
If they have a problem, they're not a good manager agent for you. So don't represent me if you don't feel like we need to have a relationship business-wise. This is business.
Sure.
So any out there might listen, if you haven't talked to your agent in some form, and if you haven't worked in more than a month, you haven't talked to them in 2-3 months because you're scared, then that's on you.
Yeah.
That's their job. And don't be afraid to get dropped. Don't be afraid to fire them. This is what we're here for.
This is what you had. I'm telling you, this is what this attitude and this energy is what you had the first day I met you.
And it's not arrogance. This is your job.
Right.
If you have a babysitter watching your kids, and you come home and your boy hasn't eaten,
yeah,
you have a right to be upset. Your job is to feed my son. You know what I'm saying? No, that's your job. Your job, you clean my house, you have my kitchen's not clean. Your job is to clean my kitchen. I'm paying you.
Yeah.
So what's the point of representing me if you're not gonna do that? And I love you. And I'm appreciative. I thank you. You know, every job I get, I send them some alcohol, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hey, you wanna come to Conan backstage and hang out with me? Get me on Conan.
Right. That's funny. That's a good way to do it.
What are you talking about?
You wanna meet Conan? Then let's go.
I love you. But I gotta hold you accountable. So
yeah.
Your parents hold you accountable. I hold my mom accountable for stuff she needs to do. Mom, you supposed to send my mail, you know.
Are you this into every aspect of life? Or is this, do you get this excited about your career? Or like politically, are you this excited? Are you charged in any other aspects? Are there other things that you're passionate about?
I'm passionate about everything. Yeah. You know, I think I am. But I don't go as far in a relationship with a girl. I just take that L, because someone you with and you love, you can't. Sometimes it's, you just got to let that go. You know how it is.
Is that because of career?
What?
You said you take the L with a girl.
With a girl, because in a relationship, men and women, common sense doesn't really go forward. Like, some guys just don't understand why their girl is unhappy because he's just unaccountable and she just lets it go.
Yeah.
Or sometimes if my girl's crying, doesn't matter if I'm right. I let it go. You see what I'm saying?
Because
you love that person, want to be with that person. Career-wise, this is business. You wouldn't be talking to me unless I had something to offer. And vice versa. We could be friends, but we still work with each other.
Right.
I don't say work for me, we work with each other.
Do you want a wife and kids?
I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to have three. I would love to have, you got two boys, one girl?
Yeah.
That's ideal for me.
That's it, huh?
That's ideal. But I've yet to find somebody like you found in your wife that I can just...
It's hard in this business, like, and especially I tour a ton. Like, we met in college.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd have found it if I hadn't like snagged on her early.
But I would love to have a wife and kids who can hold the house down for me if she wanted to, or if she wanted to work, we could hire a babysitter, or whatever. Yeah. Ladies, I'm not saying you got to stay at home.
No, it's her option.
And be able to do what you do. I think this is great. I know it's tough. I know it's hard, and it's like a lot. But if we could do it and make it work. That'd be great. I would love to have three kids and run around. Your kid's the cutest. You see that kid? That kid's the cutest thing in the world. but it wasn't in the cards at the time. I didn't meet anybody, and now here we are. So I don't know if it's gonna happen like that. You know.
Yeah.
Most girls I date don't want more than one kid.
maybe not. But sometimes you have me like.
But you find you a good. Fun. You find you a good Midwestern girl.
Right. That's what you gotta find.
You know what I'm saying? I might find me a hot LA joint who don't want babies.
No, don't do that. No, don't do that.
You found you a good wife.
Yeah.
I'm, you know. So now all my college girls, they're all gone and married now.
Yeah. So, nah, you don't.
You found a good one, baby. You found a diamond.
You don't find a good for one night. You find the one that's solid.
You found a diamond in the rough, baby. You got lucky, man.
Okay. Here's a question that I ask my guests.
Yeah.
Deathbed tweet. Okay. You're dying. Plane's going down. Something. This is your digital footprint. This is the lasting thing. The last thing you could tell anybody. After that, wipe clean. Nobody's going to hear from you. What's the last thing that you'd say to the world, your loved ones? What's the last thing?
To the world?
Your plane's going down. You have time to send one tweet. What does it say?
Tupac was overrated.
So you go for a joke, or is that real?
Yeah.
That's what people will say. Is he joking or...
Yeah, we're comics, man. This is what we are. This is what we are.
So your lasting impression is comedy. I like it.
This is what we are. What? This is...
Yeah. Would you have a joke on your tombstone?
Probably if I could. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I probably would.
Do whatever you want.
This is... It took me years to accept that. This is who we are.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a comic. I didn't want to do comedy. I thought it was stupid. I thought it was corny. It took me a long time to accept... I'm a goddamn stand-up comedian. And I'm proud, and I'm happy to be one. I didn't like it. I just, open mic sucked, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm a fucking comic. There's no other people like what we do. This is, to me, this is the toughest, truest form of comedy, of art.
Of art. This, you consider
truest,
it art.
This is the truest form of art. The way we craft and move and shake, and we got to change this. And too fast, the beat's not going to hit. Too slow, if you don't wait for the laugh, if your face isn't the right way.
Yeah.
The way we construct jokes, the thought process behind it, the double entendres. This is the truest form of art. And you're by yourself on that stage, and anything can happen. It's improv.
I wish people could see your hands. You're doing a lot with your hands right now.
It's improv and it's acting combined. You got theater, you got improv. You know what I'm saying? Stand up, you have to have both. Because somebody might say something in the crowd, you got to improv off of it.
Yeah.
You're acting your character, playing your mom, your kids, or whatever, as well as sitting there telling jokes, waiting for them to laugh. And then if they don't laugh, how do you respond? This is the truest form of art to me.
Dude, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Rel, anything you want to promote? Where can people find you, though?
I just can't hang out with you, buddy.
I appreciate
it. I'll be at the Laugh Factory tomorrow night and Sunday as well.
Tomorrow night. Okay.
So, chilling.
And people can find your dates somewhere online?
Yeah, I'm online. Just Google me. I'm up there somewhere. I'm at Red Rail Battle on Twitter, on Instagram, and everything else. Yeah,
so. Cool, man. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Hall.